This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Jonas Siegel in here from The Athletic.
You should acknowledge.
You're back in the middle seat.
Oh, dog. Just shout out.
I haven't heard from him in two days. I don't know what his story is.
Good wishes. Feel better?
I know he pulled the shoot yesterday on today's show.
Yeah, see, that's a tough...
He's sick. What do you want?
No, 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 no.
He talks a big game
you pull
about
the shoot
how soft
the day
everyone
of.
Else is.
You don't pull the shoot the day of. Like, you know what? Next Thursday, I'm not going to feel well.
Right.
No, but if you're like, if you're really sick, you know the next day, you might be a little better, but you're not going to be good enough.
How do you know that,
Jones? You don't know that.
I don't know. I was sick for the first time in a long time a few weeks ago, and I was, like, dead. And the next...
The next day you did something, right?
Well,
like, I feel like there's, I'm never going to challenge. I never challenge an injury or a sickness because I've been there before and all that. It's just the preemptive, like, hey.
Heads up.
I don't think that's true, though.
Tomorrow. What?
No,
we didn't get full confirmation until today.
No. There was
confirmation last night.
I think there was confirmation last
night. There was confirmation last night. Don't listen to fake news that's being peddled out here. There's propaganda starting to take place here on behalf of the O-Dog.
Yeah.
And it's bogus. It was the wheels were in motion last night.
Yeah, exactly.
He pulled the pin last night.
Like, see, I know I've played with guys that it was like clockwork. You would see, like... maybe a little pocket in the schedule where you're like, I can see that guy not being available for that game, for that scenario. Like,
for what reason?
I don't know. It's just...
Lots of games, mid-season.
Yeah, I'm never going to challenge, but like, oh, you know what? It's just nice to stick around that city one day extra or do something. Like, I always felt like I could predict, like, oh, there's going to be something going on with that guy around this time. And clockwork, like you want to talk about betting. Like, that's where you could lay a bet down and go, I would put money that this guy's not going to be available.
That's a great
game.
Call your shot on when a guy isn't going to play.
Yeah.
Like, this Le'Veon Bell story is incredible. He didn't play over the weekend for the Jets because he had the flu, so he couldn't play.
Right.
He was spotted bowling that night.
Was it that night or the night before?
I believe it was the night of the game. So did not play in the game, but later that day was out bowling. And he showed up at the Jets facility today. And the media is just waiting for him. This is in New York. This is a guy they paid a boatload of money to. He's been okay. He hasn't really done anything. And the Jets are terrible. It was Saturday night that he was out bowling? Okay, so there you go.
Night before. So is that kind of a flu with quotation marks around it where you're
out the night before.
Your booze bagged up. Like, that's, to me, that's a hyperbaric chamber, maybe an IV, and get out there and play.
But what kind of bowling alley are you at where you're putting on that type of a show?
Isn't there a nice one in Toronto right by the theater there, Scotiabank, right on that corner?
I've been there, but it's not like you're on the Vegas Strip here. I mean, you're bowling, you have a couple of beers or something. It's not like it's the greatest party in the world.
I feel like that place is a party, though, in Toronto. I feel like that place you can take it deep.
It's a cool spot. It's a very cool spot. But if you have a game the next day, I think, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. You still have to fight through.
We had a guy, and this is in the minors, so I'll throw him under the bus. I won't say his name. But, like, he left the game with an injury. Like, flat out, like, this guy had, like, a leg injury. And we all went out after the game. This guy's on the dance floor. Like, you can't be on the dance floor if you can't play in the game that night. Because you've got a leg injury, this guy's cutting rug like he's John Travolta in Saturday Night Live. And, like, to the point where some of the leaders had to go over and be like, dude, we care, but we don't care. But you cannot be, like, doing scissor kicks and doing the splits when you got carried off the ice in the first period.
Right.
Like, maybe he's feeling better.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he had some medication in him. But still,
here's the Bell story. Okay, so he was sent home Friday with an illness. on Saturday night, they ruled him out for the game the next day. So he pulled the O-dog. Hey, I don't think I can go tomorrow. And he was spotted at a local bowling alley in New Jersey, and he was there from 10:30 till 1 a.m.
Please so, tell me that O-Dog is at a bowling alley in Collingwood.
I
feel like there is somebody that has spotted him at either the grocery store, at a local, you know, restaurant, because you know he has to eat.
I'm asking.
Guarantee you somebody has snapped a photo and be like, that's the O-Dog sitting there.
Has anyone seen this guy out in the city of Toronto or Collingwood over the past 48 hours?
For sure.
If so, we want access to that material.
I promise you, at least even him having to go and get, you know, fluids for a cold or whatever. He's been at the grocery store, at a restaurant, or at a bowling alley if he's Le'Veon Ball.
Le'Veon Bell. And this is what Bell had to say. Listen to this quote. Okay, asked about that. Hey, you pulled the pin on the game, then you went bowling. Said, quote, the biggest surprise is I bowled a 251 off the flu. That's a career high.
That's amazing.
I'm sure the franchise is going to love that comment. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
Oh, the Jets. They get it right all the time, don't they?
They always do. Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, the guy, he doesn't play a game for Pittsburgh last year. And then he goes, I'm chasing the money, and the Jets give him the money, and this is how he repays them in the first year of a monster deal that they couldn't unload. They tried to trade him before the trade deadline. Wow. There's too much guaranteed money. And this guy is pulling the chute on a game. Yeah, it's a meaningless game. They're out of the playoff run, but still, you're a pro. You only have to play 16 times. And then he's out bowling the night before the game.
Yeah, but he rolled a 251.
Which is impressive.
Very impressive.
It's very impressive. But, I'm sure you've seen examples. Noodles was telling us of some examples of his playing career without naming names where you're like, nah. That guy, he probably could have played because I saw what he was up to either the night before or the night of the game.
Well, the ones I can remember, honestly, and there's not a whole bunch, but there's some, is like you'd go into a place that was kind of a nasty piece of business, and you could, from a mile away, see, oh, wait a minute, this guy's got the limp on today. Gee, what a shocker. He's in the morning skate. He's got a bad hamstring.
Yeah.
Like, he was fine yesterday. And now, because we've got these monsters that we got to play against, all of a sudden he's not able to go. And then you see him walking out after the game, and you're like, man, it's like he's going to a Christmas party. It's like, guy's in great spirit.
Just so happy.
There's story after story, Ray. Like, I remember one of my close friends was playing for the Oilers at the time. They played shorthanded because one of the forwards had the flu. But they were in Phoenix back then, and he missed the game with the flu. They played with like 10 forwards. The next day, he's leaving. He's in the elevator with his clubs. He's going golfing, and they're all having breakfast. They're going, is that the guy who was deathly ill? Couldn't play for us last night, but he's going to go shoot 36 today.
Yep, TPC calling his name.
Like,
so is that what we're thinking O's done here?
Well, I mean, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, he's sick. Everyone's sick right now. And
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
I never challenge injuries or sickness, but we're just trying to see if he's been spotted out and about.
What's he up to? That's what I want to know. It's fine that you're not in here.
We're not calling him Verbata, are we?
Well, those are his words. Put it this way, Ray. If I was off the past 2 days and he was in here, he would spend 6 straight hours of programming calling me Verbata, soft, taking runs at me.
And it even goes a step further. Apparently, or allegedly, he called his shot yesterday saying he's not going to be available for today.
That's a courtesy to me, though, isn't it?
I think so. I think it's a courtesy. But to me, it would be more like, hey, Jonas, please be available in case I can't go. Like, that's a... To me, it's a game time decision.
It's a game time decision.
We see this all the time in hockey. No. Like, is he playing tomorrow? Well, it's a game time decision.
He put himself on the IR last night. Long term IR for the O-Dog.
Wait, Ray, let me ask you. Was there ever a time where you did not play a game because of, like, well, you just didn't feel like playing?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so.
1,200 games, man. You got to fight through every once in a while.
There were lots of games I played that I shouldn't have played because I was no good. and on that night, and the coach would ask, this actually has happened. Hey, were you feeling all right tonight? Yeah, I felt good. You're like, oh, sorry about that. I guess I'll be better next game.
Those are always the best subtle, passive-aggressive messages.
The coach is wondering, are you sick? Are you injured? Like, what's going on? Like,
I just watched you.
No,
you're awful right now.
No. We had a guy in the minors. I don't know if you remember that Yari Grandstand.
Yep.
And he couldn't pronounce Butch Goring's name too well, so he's like, Yari, you gonna play? Not today, Butch. That was it. Not today, Butch.
Not feeling it, Butch. Not going to be able to crack the line tonight.
No, all good.
Well, what are you going to do? So the Leafs are out in Vancouver, and I'm just seeing this this quote. Alex Kerfoot is speaking, and he's from Vancouver. And Thomas Drance, your boy from The Athletic.
Shout out.
Writing this, saying, Kerfoot just spoke to the media and said, quote, I was a Canucks fan, but I was never one of those guys that just hated the Leafs. And then this is the big mic drop that will go over well in Vancouver. A lot of people are just jealous the Leafs get more attention, end quote. So there you go. Vancouverite back in his hometown putting a target on his back. I love that type of quote. How's the market handling Leafs Nation taking over?
Well, they don't like it. They start ripping on TSN for a national network that every time they turn on the TV, like, why wasn't there more coverage of Alex Burrows going into the Ring of Honor? Because if it was a Leaf, it would have been a big deal, and like kind of like stuff like that. It's kind of like never ending. The only thing I'm disappointed is it's a weekday game, because I really enjoy when everybody out here gets their shorts in a knot when they have a 4 o'clock Saturday night game, because they think why should we change the game time for Toronto? I find it quite amusing, actually.
I do too. I love just needling people because I understand it. If you're in Vancouver, you're like, wait a minute, I want to go to the game at 7 o'clock, and it's blatantly just catering to the fans and, you know, slobs like me back in Toronto who are like, well, my schedule can't possibly
my routine
be adjusted.
My routine cannot be affected whatsoever.
How dare you do that?
And so, but the thing is, you try to explain it to people, well, it's because millions of people want to watch the game in the East at 7 o'clock. And they're like, yeah, but we live out West. Yeah, but you're not hearing that millions of people means there's money involved and money rules.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
Well,
but they're excited for this game, honestly, out here, because the Canucks have been, I think, one of the more pleasant surprises. They score lots of goals. When's the last time there was a Canucks team that was really fun to watch? Like, it's been a while. Mm-hmm. Quinn Hughes has energized things here, and then, of course, they got Pettersson and Besser, and they get good goaltending. I think it'll be an entertaining game. I really do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really fun game
agree.
Tonight. There's some news out of the Board of Governors that there will not be a World Cup of Hockey in 2021, and the owners still don't want to go to the Olympics in 2022. The players want to get there, but it needs to be collectively bargained, and at this point, I'm not sure it's going to happen. But Pierre LeBrun reporting in the previous hour that sources are indicating to him that both the NHL and the PA are focused on a World Cup of Hockey in 2024 and then again in 2028. Which, I mean, that's a long ways away. And you're talking then at that point, the World Cup of Hockey was in 2016, I think. That's 8 years removed from, like, the best-on-best international hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the last one was a joke.
It was.
I mean, like, you had team make-believe and whatever the other one
remember
was.
Remember, Team Europe was, like,
they made it to the finals.
They were in the finals.
Right. And they had, it's a good thing they didn't win. Like, what anthem were they going to play? Like, they didn't have one. And so but there's a couple of things here. Like, it's easy to really bang your feet on the ground and kick Bettman in the shins and say they should just go to the Olympics. But the league, I get it. I get why they don't want to go, because they don't get anything from it. They shut the league down for a couple of weeks. You can say they get all this notoriety and publicity, great, but they don't get any money. And the IOC doesn't want to pay any money for insurance and travel. And that's millions of dollars. And then the NHL, once the Olympics are over, they can't use the highlights. They can't, because the IOC controls all of the highlights out of the Olympics. So now they're going to try and put the World Cup together, and they jammed this last one together, and it looked like a hodgepodge, and it was. And then you get, you know, you get the tournament over. You had players putting their, you know, their health on the line. You have a short summer, and then you got to jump into the season. And it's not really the ideal time to do it. So when is the ideal time? Well, I don't know, but they tried to do the whole thing in Toronto. That doesn't work. You're asking people to, you know, the same people to pay all the money all the time. I see why it takes a couple of years. And if you think of it, the Olympics are in 2022,
right?
I believe.
In China.
And so, yeah, so you're looking at just 2 years past that. So I get it. Some of my great memories as a kid were watching, you know, the 72 series, but also like when the Canada Cup came in 76 and mm-hmm. Bobby Orr played, it was his last gasp. That was my favorite player. Like, I love that. And then even they had the Challenge Cup, I think they called it. It was a made up trophy, but Canada played the Russians the NHL played the Russians at Madison Square Garden in a 3-game series. And then there was the great 6-5 game in Hamilton. Like, all those things, they all resonate. And I get why people like them and want them, but I just don't think it's as easy to put it together. And we're seeing that they can't put it together without a lot of cooperation. And in most cases, when you need a lot of cooperation, it doesn't happen very easily.
Yeah, it's without question complicated. And it's easy for me to say, well, just make it happen. It's not my money. It's not my business plan. But I think what gets lost on even the Olympic Games, like a lot of times the way it's built up, well, the reason you would do that is because you can find new fans. Well, forget about new fans. Appease the fans that you have because of what you just said, Ray. You've been a hockey fan your whole life, and your memories, they count for something. And it's the same thing with me. Like, if you're a Leaf fan, put it this way. In Toronto, there hasn't been any glorified moments. Like, the 92-93 teams are the most celebrated teams in my lifetime by a country mile. They didn't even make it to the Cup final, let alone win it.
Right.
So what do I remember? I remember 0-2 in Salt Lake. I remember Sid in 2010.
Right.
And it's just, it's disappointing that that's been a part of my life forever, your life forever. And it's just, it feels like it's kind of teetering to a point where it may just disappear. And that would be a huge disappointment to hockey fans.
Well, I guess, you know, you're at the Board of Governors, so those are the most powerful people in the game because they're the owners or the representatives of the owners, and they're the ones that are stroking the check, and they're the ones that are making the big decision as to when to try and schedule this thing. Like, nobody seems to want it to be in February because you got to shut the season down. In particular, if you go to China, heck, I was in Korea last time, guys. The games were in the middle of tomorrow. Right? Like, crazy trying to, you'd call home. I didn't even know what day it was. And people are supposed to watch them and get, you know, so this is the publicity that we're getting or this is the liftoff we're getting for worldwide promotion. I don't see it. And so if you had the World Cup and it was in February, that makes sense to me. But to have it in September, I don't see it happening. I just, which players, Noodles, just think, if we were good enough when we played, and we got to the semifinals, and we finished around the 1st of June, and they said, oh, yeah, by the way, camp starts for the tournament. It starts in, middle of August. Like, you're going to get 3 weeks off.
Yeah.
And then you got to get in shape again to try and play, and now you're going to play, you're already going to play 80 games plus anyway. Now you're going to play another 5 or 7 of high-level games that you might not be in great shape for. Like, I don't know. It doesn't, it's great for the guys that don't have to play. They get all the benefits. It's 130 guys that have to play that are putting themselves on the line for it.
And that's the biggest challenge. When you start to take a look at, and I'll go more to recent examples, when you take a look at Jonathan Toews, for example, how much hockey he's actually played with World Juniors, then Stanley Cup Finals and Stanley Cups won and everything in between, Olympics, mm-hmm. like the mileage on that body compared to other players, not of that ilk, that's where you start to complain if you're a Blackhawks fan going, like, this guy looks 100 years old out there, and you're saying, well, this guy hasn't had a break. I remember we had Q on, Brian, not that long ago, when they missed the playoffs. He's like, I haven't had an April off in how many years?
Yeah, But those are the players that are fighting to go.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? Like, by all accounts, when you say, well, the players want to go, yeah, there's 600 of them that want to go to Vegas or Cancun for 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's 120 or 100 of them that...
But there's some of them that are like, I wouldn't mind going and trying... Like, it's a legacy moment. Like, if you're Connor McDavid and you dream of catching the greats, you got to get a gold. You have to.
Yeah.
Like, Sid did it, Gretzky did it, Lemieux did it, Orr did it. They all did it. You got to do it. But you got to be given the opportunity.
Right. You're right. It's not... For those guys, it's not the money. Although I think they do get compensated for their time. I forget what they got last time, but you're right. It's about playing with Canada on your chest in the biggest tournament. That's why the Olympics are an overwhelming, yes, they all want to go.
Right.
Because it's the Olympics, man. If you get an Olympic gold medal, it actually means, right? It means like it. The World Cup, like, we might be all fired up about it. Do you think they're fired up about it in Helsinki, Finland? Not a chance.
No.
The games are all here. They're like, I don't know. I'm like, yeah, it's great. It's awesome. The Finns are playing the Swedes. Fantastic. It was at the Olympics. Man, those guys, they lose their minds over it. And we do, too. The Olympics are the best formation. The problem is that the league and the players don't reap any benefit, almost no benefit, from going to the Olympics.
Well, Ray, when you talk about money, I don't know if you guys have followed what's been going on in the NBA with their schedule.
Yeah, okay. Jonas, I tried to follow, and then I got confused.
It's very confusing. Yeah. But the basic idea is they want to hold a mid-season tournament. And obviously you can make money from a mid-season tournament. The league, the NHL is different because the games in the regular season mean more. But do you think that's something that they should consider, like
alter their schedule to fit a World Cup in
something, or
it's maybe, their league?
But maybe it's not a World Cup. Maybe it's NHL teams in tournament. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's
I think European teams do that though. Like,
but they step outside their league and play what's called the Champions League.
Right. I just called two games. Why I was late to being on the show. I just called two Champions League games, where you step outside your league and you play against other teams. It's a neat
format.
And
that's built into the... It's like this simultaneous tournament going on. And it takes months, right? If I'm not mistaken, Noodle?
It does.
And so they keep playing, and then all of a sudden, in concert with the regular season that gets you to the playoffs, you could be the Champions League champion and miss the playoffs in your league.
Right.
Like, technically, that could happen. And you know what? I kind of think it's pretty awesome. But how would you have a Champions League unless you have the leagues all around the world playing?
That's the problem, Ray.
Where are you, right? Like, they're in Europe. Everybody's 2 hours away. Like, okay, you got to play a home and you got two games with a team in Davos.
They're talking about building it into the schedule, so game 34 is part of this tournament.
It would be the Knicks versus the Raptors, like, because the problem that you have is, like, it's not soccer where there's no equivalent league. There's no league that's close. You can't play the NHL winner can't play the winner of the Swiss league. It'll be a joke.
Let me ask you this: like, I'm sorry to interrupt, Ray, but like, is there anything that would attract you? And I'm saying, like, Brian, Jonas, Toronto fans during the season, would it be like an all-Canadian matchup or something that on
that's
the
something
side?
You could spend.
Like, is it like the Habs,
the Canada,
Edmonton,
Cup,
Vancouver,
teams.
Like, that's the thing. To me, that may get some traction because of what we were just talking about when you came on, like Vancouver and Toronto, the cities that don't like each other. You know, those teams are good. Would it be nice to see a best of five aggregate or something like that?
They do that in soccer here. Like, there's the Canadian Cup or whatever they call it, where TFC plays Montreal and Vancouver.
Yeah.
And
okay, but so here's something. We're talking about Toronto and Vancouver because, you know, that's close to us. So what are Columbus and Buffalo doing?
That's a different cup.
Yeah, but does it matter? Yeah,
Southeastern United States or something?
I can't even get my head around how the logistics of that work. And Jonas, I saw that article about the NBA schedule, and I got down to about six paragraphs in and my head blew up.
Me too.
And I'm like, I don't even know what they're talking about anymore.
Well, and they don't know how to incentivize it for the players. Like, how do you make it worthwhile?
Right. Because if you just put it in as game 34 of the season, is that like, do the points count for both?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure. Yeah. Honestly, I don't think they figured all that out.
No.
Like, so that's what I mean. Well, then that's a true four-pointer.
Yeah.
You need a big time. Like,
then you really got to show.
It's interesting.
Up.
Hey, it is interesting, though. Like, it's, I don't think anything can be off the table. And sometimes you look at an idea and it looks ridiculous, and then you study it and it is ridiculous. And then other times you look at it and somebody informs you a little bit, and you go, hey, you know what? That thing could actually work. And then you start getting to work at it. Like, who knows? The All-Star game is, look, they're exploring guys shooting pucks out of the roof or something or other. Like, did you see that?
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's yeah, going to work.
I'm like, oh, great, fantastic, right? Like whatever. But it's not, there are things they're trying to fix, and they just can't be fixed. Maybe this is part of something to fix.
That whole idea of them, like, taking shots from an upper level. Remember Sid and Malkin did that video year or two ago, and there have been commercials. Like, it's a cool idea, but you have to have an empty building for it. Because
no, they're looking at a mechanism where the netting behind the net. I'm not even kidding. It folds down flat to protect the people sitting underneath it.
What's the purpose of it, though?
Well, it's a skills type of competition, I guess. Can you score if you're up on the upper deck? Can you shoot a puck down to the ice and land it flat? I don't know. But here's something that could end this immediately if the insurance policy comes into play. Okay, you've got a net directly over the fans. And these are NHL players. You know that they're going to be able to control where the puck's going. What if their stick breaks and it flies 25 feet to the left?
Who's the guy who's the guy who hammered somebody off?
Yeah, Tom Kite.
Tom Kite.
The
worst drive of all time.
So you, Tom Kite. Phil Kessel goes up there and snaps his stick.
And it flies
somewhere.
And Tom
Kite somebody.
Or his stick flies somewhere. Lands off some guy's head, and you're like, who came up with this idea?
Yeah.
Like, can we just get rid of it?
I don't want to say that I'm a negative guy with new ideas, because I'm not at all. I think I love some of them. After you see the first guy shoot three pucks, could you give a damn?
No.
You'll go, gee, that's awesome. He's standing up in the concourse. Go have a hot dog and a beer while you're shooting it. Like, I don't know. I just think, like, it's unsalvageable.
Yeah.
The All-Star game.
Yeah.
So maybe this stuff can be part of something new and exciting. It's a shame it's going to take so long to try and get it all figured out, but I get why it will. I just hope creative heads stay in it and don't get frustrated and say, you know what, it can't be done.
Yeah.
Because maybe it can.
All right, buddy. We'll leave it there. We'll see what comes out of the game tonight. It should be a fun one in Vancouver, and we'll break it all down tomorrow at 5.
You betcha. Have a great day, guys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline for all of December. Receive a $500 Von Mills gift card when you purchase or lease any new in-stock vehicle. Maple Toyota, right next to Wonderland.
Did you see?
Yeah. So we have a viewer, someone sitting at a bar somewhere watching us right now. I know exactly what this guy's up to.
With the Donnie Trump-style tweet us.
So the O-Dog has responded on Twitter to our criticism. We will let you hear or read what he had to say next. All right. The poll question brought to you by JerseyFactory.com. Asking people, considering what's going on with Le'Veon Bell down in New York, where he didn't play on Sunday because of the flu, but he was spotted Saturday night until 1 a.m. playing bowling somewhere in Jersey. Then came out today and said, hey, I shot a 251. Like, that's all that I care about. Like, what a horrible reaction.
Yeah, the actual guts on this guy to be like,
I'm good.
I was good. I just wasn't going to play.
Think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, what they have just completely divulged themselves of.
Like, and they're still good.
They're 8-5. They started, I think, 0-3. Remember, they traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick. We're like, what are you doing? That could be a top five pick. They're in the playoff hunt. They're right there as a wild card team. And Antonio Brown, done. Just he's played himself, talked himself, tweeted himself right out of the league.
Right.
Le'Veon Bell just collecting cash and not playing, but going bowling and then coming out with a wise ass comment about it. And there's Tomlin and the Steelers just bombing along, doing their thing on a third string quarterback.
But does that justify they're glad that this guy's gone?
Absolutely.
Like they wake up going, you know what? We're glad that that player who may have been deemed a cancer in our room is gone. We are a healthier team for it.
It's very clear that that is the case because, again, they are 8-5, and if you look at the playoff structure right now, if the playoffs were to begin today, they'd be the second wildcard team. So they'd be at Kansas City. They'd lose that game, I think, but again, the big story when Antonio Brown left, when they traded Brown, they were stuck with dead money. They had to pay. They have like $21 million, I believe, of dead money on their cap. So they're not even up against the roof because they couldn't get there anyway. Roethlisberger ended his season week two or week three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now we thought they were dead in the water.
Dead in the water. And Le'Veon Bell gone, you're like, this isn't going to work. James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster, they haven't played the past two or three weeks.
Well, and I don't even think Juju was good before he got hurt. Are great.
He hasn't been off the charts because look who's been throwing on the ball. But they're returning this week, so they get both of them coming back, I believe. Le'Veon Bell is now a pinata in New York. Antonio Brown is still going crazy on Twitter and on Instagram, and they're just cruising to an 8-5 playoff spot.
AB's got problems. Like, you can tell he's very erratic and stuff. Like, he's, you know, hero, tough guy, then on the apology tour. Like, he's... You know, there's a lot going on there.
Something's going on there.
Right.
But anyway, the Le'Veon Bell story led us to discuss what our own Le'Veon Bell is up to. Le'Veon O'Neal, because the O-Dog has been off the past couple of days due to sickness.
Right.
Now, I haven't spoken to him. Have you spoken to him?
No. There was the group text where he was sick, and then I thought I responded, and then I realized I didn't. So I should have said, get some sleep, buddy.
Right. And we support that. I have missed days for illness. I'm fighting through illness right now. Now, I'm a trooper. I'm a gamer. I'm a guy who shows up and puts it in.
Yeah.
But there will be a time when I'm going to miss a show. But I know when I'm off and I miss a show, he will destroy me for 3 hours.
Yes.
I know he will. He'll call me Radim Verbata.
Yeah.
He'll say, you know, I'm fighting through this and that. That'll be his whole act for 3 full hours.
Yes.
So... Last night, he pulled the pin on today's show.
Which is...
I don't care about the other information that is allegedly out there that it actually got locked in this morning.
Yeah, my belief is that... The information to us was available about his decision today, yesterday.
Last night, he made the choice not going to make it. Jonas, you're in.
I sort of support him. I just know when you're really sick... You know pretty much the next day you'll be better.
You've got an idea.
And
I'll give you that.
When you're like when you're really sick. Like think of the times when you're like, you know, on the toilet and not in a good
spot. It's a family show, Jonas.
Yes.
But we don't need that type of material on this show.
But you're just thinking, a guy called the constipator on our show.
Well, there's a lot of people thinking that's what he's doing. He's
just shaving.
You know, like at that time you're like, man, I'm never gonna feel better.
Right.
Yeah, so he's probably thinking like the next day. There's even if I'm a little bit better, I'm not good enough to go on the air. Can we agree on
totally
that?
Totally reasonable. I understand what you're saying. I have been in situations where I have planted the seed, saying, "Hey, have a contingency plan. I'll let you know in the morning."
Right.
But I think it was not a contingency plan.
No.
Lock it in. I'm not coming tomorrow.
Not coming tomorrow. And then, you know, if I'm feeling a little bit better, is there something I can do? You know, like, hey, I've got some errands to run. That's why I think my biggest concern that we don't want him to have to go through this is he's spotted out bowling and bowling a 255 or whatever.
Well, and that's what we're asking people. With the O-Dog not in here today, where do you think he is most likely to be spotted? 42% of people saying best Portuguese chicken.
Oh, yes.
30% bowling up in Collingwood. I like this one. 21% back in Mexico. He might be in Mexico right now.
That might have been a short little trip.
Yeah. So you can vote on Twitter at Overdrive1050. The poll question brought to you by JerseyFactory.com. Custom team uniforms and logos at prices to suit any budget. Play like a pro. Look like a pro. JerseyFactory.com. Well, the O-Dog has passive-aggressively subtweeted the boys on Twitter, and he has tweeted out, pretty sad when you're sick and four people you call friends are questioning your integrity. Pretty sad.
That was a kind of a Donnie Trump tweet.
Little bit of a Ronald J. Trump-esque.
He's getting a lot of likes and There's 83 comments. So if we go through the comments, are people siding with him or siding with, you know, our lenses?
I would say it's probably going to swing both ways. Yeah. And maybe we'll do that in the next hour.
Read some of the comments.
Yeah,
below.
We should. Bob McKenzie will join us in the next hour. I want to get into the winter meetings where Charlie Montoya, the manager of the Jays, is out there, and he's talking about, you know, some of the things that they're trying to use in their pitch. And one of the examples, I just don't see it working. I don't see it working. I don't think it's necessary. The Jays are trying to convince the world that they're being overly aggressive. They're right in there. They're flexible. They're trying to make things happen. But nothing is happening.
Has anything leaked out about any of their potential pitches? Because sometimes you hear... Now, you go back a little bit. Do you remember when Steven Stamkos was being pitched? Mm-hmm. There was all sorts of... you know, rumblings as to what the Leafs were willing to do or willing to offer and all that type of stuff. Usually there is some sort of narrative that comes out of these pitches. They're like, man, even an agent will tell somebody else, going, yeah, the Jays are really pushing this.
They told us they believe they can be a playoff team in 2020, right, like, or something like
that. That's where I'll believe it if I hear some narrative coming out of some of these negotiations.
I have not seen any. I have not heard any. I don't deny that they're talking to all the free agents, but I think every team is. Baltimore is probably doing that. Kansas City, Detroit, Miami.
Right.
Everybody's doing that. You don't get credit because you called an agent and said, hey, we're interested in you, Garrett Cole. Will you accept their $50 million offer? Nope. Well, we were in there. We were aggressive. We could have gone up to 55 total. That doesn't count
for
anything.
To me, it's you call the agent and say, we know we may not be on his list, but what number would he consider to put us on the list? And let us know.
Right. What do we have to do to be?
What do we have to do to be in the mix?
An even playing field.
Well, who is the free agent the Raptors tried to chase a couple years back, and I think they got a meeting. I can't remember if it was LaMarcus Aldridge.
I think they did get a meeting.
And it was kind of just that sort of thing where he was at least granting them an audience.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like that's actually real with any of these guys. Like Garrett Cole.
Cole's not
a joke. But like even like Dallas Keuchel. Is Dallas Keuchel really looking at the Jays and being like, yeah, I want to play for an 80-win team next year?
Well, that's the whole problem. And I think Boris has all these players. Like Boris, he had Strasburg. He's got Cole. I think he's got Keuchel. He might have Ryu as well. I think he's got like the four top pitchers. So everything's going through Boris. And now there's two mystery teams that are in on Garrett Cole, which is just blatantly Boris peddling garbage.
But that maybe Boris calls the Blue Jays and say, do me a favor and I'll throw you a bone in the future or somebody else with one of my clients, but be in on this situation and drive this number up. Believe me, there's a lot of, you know,
backdoor negotiations.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And why not, if you're Shapiro and Atkins, show up at the agency? Be right there. What's illegal and what's not as far as tampering?
At the winter meetings, you can do whatever you want.
Exactly.
These guys are free agents. You can. I mean, there are parameters in terms of what you can offer and all that, but there's no reason why you can't get a meeting or make a pitch if they're willing to open the door.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
So we'll get into this more in the 6 p.m. hour. We'll let you hear what Charlie Montoya said about, you know, a part of their pitch, a part of the protocol in these rooms. We'll get to that more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, will join us in the next hour. We'll get back into this story out of Dallas. Jim Montgomery fired today for unprofessional conduct. And there weren't many details that were revealed in terms of exactly what happened, what put him in that position, why the Stars decided we have to act and we have to fire him. But the reports have been out there that had nothing to do with, like, abusing a player or anything of that ilk. So it's not going to fall in line with, you know, some of these other coaches like Bill Peters and others that have come under the spotlight recently. But we'll see what Bob can tell us about that in about half an hour. David Sampson will join us, former Marlins president and big baseball insider. He'll join us on the winter meetings and what's going on out there in San Diego. There's some more news coming out of Spygate 2.0.
Good or bad?
Not good for New England.
I was sniffing around that last night, and Belichick he's flat out distanced himself. He said, that's them, that's not us. What do you got?
Well, according to reports,
yes,
there was 8 minutes of video on that tape showing exclusively the Bengals sideline and exclusively the coaches giving signals to the players.
Is that why the cameraman was like, let's just erase it,
oh, yeah,
and there's nothing to see here? Let's just pretend this didn't happen?
Here's why I think Belichick is in trouble, and I think the Pats are in trouble, and I think this is going to blow up, and they're going to get... They're going to get heavily fined. They might lose more draft picks. It's not going to affect their win-loss record this year. If anything, it might be inspiring for them. I would watch what you wish for if you're the rest of the NFL. These guys have absolutely owned the us versus the world, you know, mentality for 20 years. Deflategate, they won the Super Bowl that year. Brady served his 4 games and went on to win a Super Bowl that year. They may take this as bulletin board material. Yeah. But here's why Belichick, I think, is in trouble. This ridiculous notion of, like, I don't know what this documentary is, this do your job documentary that apparently the Patriots do. I think he can distance himself from that and say, listen, I'm not included in whatever documentaries we're doing. I'm working on my own thing, and people will accept that. Here's where I think it might get dicey. By all accounts, they were doing a documentary on a scout who was scouting the Bengals game because the Patriots are playing the Bengals.
Right.
Is it out of the realm of possibility that that scout told this guy, who may just be an intern there, not knowing what he's doing, was told to fly in by Robert Kraft, not Belichick, right, and the scout said, hey, while you're here, take this video for me because I'm going to bring it back to Belichick.
Yeah.
Like, if you're scouting for the team, you're scouting for Belichick.
So he may have taken it on himself to be like, hey, you know what? I'm going to get a little leg up here. I've got something going. But
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Again, that doesn't mean Belichick told him to do it.
Right.
But if that's what ends up coming out and that guy falls on the sword and goes, no, it wasn't Bill. It wasn't anybody else. I was the one that said. And be like, well, why would you even think that that was a good idea?
Right.
It's not going to matter, though. They get no benefit of the doubt.
They
get nothing.
Their history.
Like, their punishment, I don't know what their punishment's going to be. Like, how do you make it even heavier than the last time?
Well, and that applies to Belichick. You know, like, do I believe him? I guess I do, but should I? Maybe I shouldn't.
No. Right.
Like, you don't think Belichick? That. Belichick's not above blatantly lying about something.
Did you read his comments? He was like, we used to, like, walk the line a little bit more, and now we kind of pull back from it and don't go as far. I don't know, man.
Okay.
I used to cheat, but I don't.
Now I don't cheat anymore.
I almost don't now.
But an 8-minute video of the Bengals sideline, that's pretty incriminating. And again, it's easy to say it was Robert Kraft. Like, I can understand why Belichick can paint a picture that he had nothing to do with some guy flying to Cleveland to tape a documentary. Of course. But 8 minutes on the sideline, the scout is involved, and that's Belichick's guy.
Right.
Like, the scout is there to bring back a game plan for playing the Bengals.
I feel
it
like
all gets connected after a
like
while.
Like, there will be investigation upon. They'll spend millions on an investigation.
This will go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
It'll go all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the whole country will be involved.
Yeah.
And the Pats will probably, again, be motivated by this and go out and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
David Sampson on the winter meetings. Bob McKenzie coming up in the next hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.